What is up, Badger fans? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Badgers. Great show today. We're going to talk basketball recruiting, in-state talent, and who could help this team next year. We're going to talk about all of that and more on today's Locked On Badgers. Let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Badgers, your team every single day. I'm your host, Ryan Herrings, as always. Really do appreciate everybody tuning in. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends over at FanDuel, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. And as promised, we are going to talk basketball recruiting. We've got Jason Jordan, Locked On's college basketball recruiting insider, joining the show. Jason, thank you so much. As always, we are smarter because you are here.
I'll take it. Never heard that, but
No, it's meant, man. You and John Garcia, the football side of you, we are better because you guys share what you know about the game. And I've talked about before, we're not going to talk about it in the first segment, but you were completely right with Connor Sejan and the type of season he potentially could have. So yeah, definitely give you some credit for that as well. We're going to talk about that later. But first, let's start in-state talent 2024. Nick Janowski, the 6'4" kid out of Pewaukee. We've talked about him briefly before, but Badger fans are getting excited again, seeing the season he's putting up, 24 per game, dropped 46 the other day. What have you seen from him this year in terms of growth, and where are you at watching his film?
Yeah, I mean, he's just, you know, but I don't – growth, I mean, I thought he was a really aggressive scorer anyway, you know what I mean? Like, so it's just more of, you know, I would say biggest thing is I like to see players' confidence continue to grow. He was already a really confident scorer just because of his ability to stretch the defense. And, you know, he doesn't toe the line on NBA three-pointers. But he can also mix it up. He's great at two, three dribble pull-ups, has different counters for your he has like a counter for a counter. Like, you know, you have a counter to stop his first move. He has two – Kobe always talked about having two counters in your back pocket for every – anticipating the defense. So he's really good at that. And then, you know, I like left-handed shooters. I'm just kind of, I don't know why. I just feel like they can shoot better. You know, call me crazy. But that's a me thing. But in all seriousness, his ability to knock down shots in the mid-range and from the perimeter, I mean, mind-boggling. And, you know, he's a confident shooter. So he's the kind of guy that looks at the rim like, I miss, you know, like, what? Who moved the rim? So I would say the growth, his continued, I should say, growth on the confident level, because as a shooter, it's all about mentality and mechanics, but really mentality. So I would say those are the things that have grown even in this season.
Fair to say that you are a fan.
Oh, yeah. I love a confident player. Like, I even like for you to be a little cocky on the court, if I'm being very honest, because I think I know that makes you who you are. So as long as you're not cocky when the horn sounds, you know, we're all good there. But he definitely is one of the best mentality-wise, for sure.
And then we talk about this with every player that we have you on, but what are some of the things that you pick up watching him maybe in person or more so even in tournaments, vice what we're seeing, just kind of, you know, regular highlights from his high school film? Or what are you picking up outside of just the highlight film?
Just a leader. Like, he's a vocal leader, like an emotional player. So he's always engaged. He's always engaged. Never like, you know, not dialed in, always locked in at all times, very focused. So those are the things I would say would stand out in that regard. I've always remembered that he's always been like a very engaged player on both ends of the court.
And well, that brings me into the next question, right? People always want to know, we see the clips offensively. Defensively, I think he's fine. Like, I don't think, but some people look at it and say, how's he going to guard at the next level, at the Big Ten level, if that's where he goes? We don't know for sure, but how does he guard the better backcourts?
Right. I mean, there will be a curb there. I always talk about this. There's a curb with defensive rotations. I know some of your, one of the most athletic, I won't say who he is, but one of the most athletic, strongest, athletic, quickest guards. Who was a McDonald's? I will give you that. Who was a McDonald's All-American? He's not playing because he's not defending very well, right? So it's like, you know, if you can understand concepts, and that's the biggest thing. Do defensive concepts, help him recover, help him rotation, communication. Those are bigger than actually foot speed. People don't understand that. So that's the curve. And there'll be a curve for him too. But, you know, he's obviously a high IQ guy. So I think he'll be able to get the concepts down. But I mean, straight up guarding somebody 94 feet, he's not going to do that. Right? That's not his strength. But I don't know that it's the strength of any great scorer.
Yep.
Right. So we're going to give something somewhere. And I'm not saying you just go, I'm not cooking him on the offensive end. Let me just say that. I don't think I will. No. But yeah, I think he'll be okay, you know, in time. But I think that curve is there for everybody. I really do. I've always said that.
Well, and you pointed out earlier, focus player, both sides of the court. That leads itself well to learning defensive rotations, being locked in. I don't think it's always as simple as this in terms of people love to talk about, is he a high floor guy or a high ceiling guy? I don't think it's always easy to boil it down to that. But is he a player that we talked about already having counters? I think physically he's a little – I don't want to say maxed out, but physically he's pretty good size for what he's going to be. Is he more of a high floor guy or a high ceiling guy in your opinion? Where does he fall on that spectrum?
Yeah, I would say a high ceiling guy, just because of his ability to stretch the defense. I would say, can he shoot? You know, when people talk about, can he shoot? Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, then that means he can put up big numbers on the most basic level. Right. And then he's a really confident shooter. You know, he's a guy who you can't push up on because he'll just go by you. So can he shoot and is he one dimensional? Yes and then no. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that always lends itself to a higher ceiling. And he's super efficient. So, yeah, I would always say that guy has a higher ceiling.
And then from a playmaker standpoint, coming into a program, let's just say Wisconsin. We obviously don't know where he's going, but where does he fit in a Wisconsin-style offense? Is he more of a point guard? Can he play that role? You know, Wisconsin likes to move the ball around a lot of motion. Where does he fit into that type of style?
Yeah, I mean, he can play. He can slide over and play. But to be very honest with you, he's at his best when he's hunting and finding his shot. You want him to be getting downhill, looking, coming off screen. He moves very well without the ball. He's at his best. He's going to be most effective and efficient when he's looking to score in a variety of different ways. I mean, every time he gets the ball, he has to launch it. But he's also going to be a threat when he's on the court if he's in that mode. So that's going to open up things for the rest of his teammates. So I would say I don't see him as a point guard just because I know he's at his best when he's in attack mode. Yeah.
And then final kind of question here comparing, because we've talked last show I had you on, we talked about Con Knipl. Where did these two players kind of rank up offensively? I know they're going to play different positions, different body types, but from a skill standpoint, who would you have a little higher here? And I know that's not an easy question, but.
That's tough to say. I would say, I mean, Khan's, I don't know. I mean, people are always a little partial to the bigger, longer guy, you know, who can stretch the defense. But I don't know that he's, it's tough to say. Nick, I think they have similar shooting ability. So, I would say Nick probably can shoot a little bit better, but we're talking about better on a level of really good, really good to great. So, you know, when you're 6'6", launching it like that, I mean, the world is your oyster, right? Because he can also mix it up. He's very versatile. So I would say maybe Khan has a higher ceiling in that regard just because of his size.
That feels like we're splitting hairs. Just
when yeah. I mean, they're going to serve different purposes. But, you know, both of them are going to be really big threats on the offensive end in a variety of different ways.
Wrapping up here with Janowski, where do you feel his recruitment is maybe headed? Maybe timeline, maybe location. What's the latest you have there with regards to just his recruitment?
I know Iowa and Georgia Tech and USC are all heavily involved. I think he'll probably pick up some more offers in the spring. I don't think it'll be over before the spring. I think it's going to be maybe even after the season. I don't know. I haven't heard as much about his recruitment and where it stands like right now. But the last thing I heard, and this was during his season, so it had to be maybe earlier this month, was that he was going to go through the spring and, you know, see how that went, see what else he would pick up. That was what I heard from someone who would know.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's great intel. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about which Badger players in this incoming class, the 23 class, could help next year, in Jason's opinion, are ready to play physically. We're going to talk about that next on Locked On Badgers. But first, today's show is brought to you by our good friends over at Built Bar. Built Bar remains your number one source, your number one nutritional source to get a little healthier this year, eat a little healthier, feel a little better. It's all about those incremental gains, right? Get 1% better here, 1% better there, stack it up. Built Bar is one of the tools I use to do that over 16, 17 grams of protein, not a lot of calories, not a lot of sugar. It is just the perfect balance of real chocolate, real taste, incredible flavors, easy to use, and healthy. It's hard to find that balance. That's what Built Bar's done. And again, everything's covered in 100% real chocolate. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. And unbelievable flavors, churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond. It's all there. Again, not sure how they've pulled it off, but they've done it. It's what I use to eat a little healthier. I highly, highly recommend it. If you're looking for something that you can grab in between meals, heading to the gym, coming back from the gym, protein-filled, tasty, healthy, Built Bar is where you want to go. And you no longer need to order it online. You can go to Walmart, go to the pharmacy section, pick up your 4-bar box, or you can go to Sam's Club, get a 13-bar variety box. You're going to thank me later. They're absolutely fantastic. You're going to thank me later. And if you're listening to this show, really do appreciate it. Go tune into Locked On College Basketball, all the biggest college basketball stories in one spot, guests, athletes, interviews, like only Locked On can do it. Wherever you get your podcast, go check out Locked On College Basketball. All right, we're going to bring Jason Jordan back on. Again, he is the Locked On College Basketball Recruiting Insider. Jason, where can people follow your work, see what you're up to, and get your insight?
Everything I do, I post on social media. So Jason NC Jordan on Twitter and Jason C Jordan on Instagram. That's the easiest way. So anything I have going on will be up there expeditiously.
Love it. And somebody I follow, somebody I highly recommend checking out what he's doing, because he's very in the pulse of college basketball recruiting. Jason, one of the things that's happened this year with Wisconsin basketball, really the last 2 years, it's just been a massive lack of depth. You know, one injury can really sink the Badgers. There's nobody coming off the bench. They can go 6-7 deep, essentially. We've talked a lot, you and I, about Gus Yaldin, Nolan Winter. We've talked about John Blackwell. Who of that group, let's start with Gus. What do you think the expectations for next year when we're looking at who of these players can help next year?
I think all three will certainly step in and help right away next year. Gus is just Gus, I mean, I think his expectations are really high just because he's like a social media star too, more so than any of them by far. I mean, he's called Gus Bus, so, you know, nobody else has a nickname. Nope. But, you know, I think just his all-around impact, his ability to dominate on the low block, his footwork, you know, his ability to get teammates involved, find the open shooter, pass out of double teams, and different things like that, and just bring energy, you know, on both ends of the floor. I think he'll step in and help immediately in that regard. Nolan, stretch the defense, plays inside and out, versatile guy who really impacts the game on both ends. Great rebounder. I think he's an underrated rebounder. So I think, you know, obviously a guy with that skill set is going to impact the game, you know, especially in you guys' system. I think his role will be paramount because of his ability to stretch the defense, you know, at his size. And then John Blackwell's his ability to lock up on the defensive end. He's 6'3", super athletic, can stretch the defense also because he's an efficient three-point shooter. So, you know, all these attributes are and they've all done it at the highest level, right? And they've you know, done it on the AAU level. They're doing it in at the high school level. Like, I mean, Gus is one of the best players in the NIBC, which is by 10,000 miles the greatest. I mean, I'll see him this weekend. I'll be down there in South Carolina with him this weekend. The greatest high school league. I mean, it's Montverde, La Lemire, IMG, Lehigh. I mean, come on, get out of here. You know, five of their teams are ranked in the top 15 in the country. So, you know, he's down there dominating that league. So just, you know, that tells you all you need to know. So I definitely think that lends itself to those guys making an immediate impact for sure next season.
I want to start with I want to talk more about your points with Yaldin, but I want to start with Blackwell, who I feel like, yeah. And I think we talked about this. I feel like he gets overlooked in this class. Yeah, because the other two had, I think, a little more recruiting hype potentially, but he feels like a guy who can almost immediately fill into that for, even if it's 10 minutes a game, that 3-and-D role that really every team needs. He's athletic. Like you said, he's 6'3". I think he can defend and shoot right away.
Absolutely. He makes things happen. Like he's always made things happen. When he gets on the court, he's a high energy player. And that, you know, when most people say, oh, he's a high energy player, he's Rudy Rudiger. No, he's super, super skilled, you know, high energy player that is super athletic, right? So he's a big time athlete who defends. Like, now he can defend 94 feet and he can stretch the defense efficiently and knock shots down. So that guy's going to play. That guy's going to play. Absolutely.
And then let's go back to your Yaldin point. I really want to specifically talk about the level of competition he's playing now and, you know, how that's going to help him translate into the college game. Because there's just certain things you're not going to have to do if you're playing at a lower level of high school. He's sharing the court with great teammates. He's having to guard better athletes. You know, talk about how that makes that transition maybe a little easier for him.
Well, this weekend, I'm looking now, he's playing against AZ Compass Prep. Zayden High, who's going to North Carolina. They have like 6 D1 kids, McDonald's All-American. Then he plays against Sunrise Christian, who's, you know, probably in contention to make the Geico Nationals tournament. I mean, come on. Then they play Oak Hill. So that's 3. There you go. Right there. Nobody's playing those things. Nobody's playing those high schools in a season. He's playing them in the weekend.
Right.
That's his 3 games, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They'll be on ESPN Plus, so tune into that. So, but he's always done that. Like in the summer, you know, he dominated the EYBL, dominated PGM. This is why I never understood why his ranking fell or, you know, went down. Because if this is, everybody may not know this, but PGM is supposedly, and I agree with this, the number one basketball tournament of the summer at that age in the world. Right. No one's better. LeBron is courtside. Kevin Durant's courtside. All the NBA guys are there. Superstars are there. You know, you got Bronny walking around with his security and, you know, all this stuff. I mean, it's got all the pomp and circumstance. He dominated that. Like, he was cooking people, you know. And so, you know, when you're dominating your peers and people who are, air quotes, supposedly better than you, I mean, what are we doing? I don't understand why he's not like a top 30 guy. To be very honest with you, I've had the conversation with him and people that rank that type of stuff. I just don't get it, you know, because I'm big on what did you do, not what can you be, because what can you be usually ends up being wrong if we go back and crunch the numbers. But nobody wants to play that game. So, you know, as long as he continues to show and prove, and he has, and he's been consistent, he's gotten better. I think his footwork is even better now based off what I've seen. So I certainly think that lends itself to being a star in that offense. I mean, because you can run the offense through him. You should, if you're smart. You probably should.
By the way, Gus, as you mentioned, he doesn't understand what he dropped either. You know,
he doesn't understand it. I'm with him. I told him, I'm with you. I don't get it. You know, I don't get it. But you don't worry about stuff like that.
Let's take that one step further really quick and finish up on this one with Gus. Because I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I've been high on that game since well before he committed to Wisconsin. But with all that being said, what does a freshman season maybe look like then for Gus? Like, I don't want to say statistically, because every team plays different pace, tempo. We got to see what happens in the transfer portal, right, to figure out what the roles are. But what actually does that look like in the Big Ten with Gus Yaldin potentially next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll be very productive on a lot of different fronts. The thing about Gus is he's really smart. Like, he's really, people say, oh, he's a high IQ guy, but that tends to be like a throwaway quote. Well, what that means for him is he really knows how to use, it sounds remedial, but it's like a science with him. Like, he can tell by body language and body movements. And he told me one time, I can tell, you know, he loves playing against the super athlete that are just like 6'9", jumping out the gym, because he knows they're going to try and block all his shots. So they're going for all his head fakes so he can head fake them, get him on his, you know, he's a wide guy. So he knows how to get him on his hip, get him on his shoulder, create the separation there, finish on the and one. This is what he did all summer. So I think he'll be productive in that way. He's, you know, a guy who gets a piece of the paint, kicks out to the shooters, finds shooters very well. Footwork is impeccable. Like, I think he might have the best footwork of any big. It's just, he's very light on his feet. Very, very, very light on his feet. I wondered if he played soccer before. You know what I'm saying? So, and, you know, that footwork, you know, you might be faster, but he's probably quicker than you. And that means all those first two steps makes all the difference in the paint. That's a different world in the paint. We're not having a foot race. It's, am I quicker than you? Am I right by you on my first two steps? Then you're done. You're cooked. So you're going to have to foul me. And, you know, and he's a really good free throw shooter too. So, you know, I think I could see him averaging double figures, and like, I could see it being like a 11, 12 point guy, 6-7 rebounds, 3-4 assists. And I might be selling him short, but I could certainly, like, that would be, for me, I would expect that out of him.
Hmm.
I wouldn't be like, well, that's a good, I would be like, okay, that's about what I thought.
That checks the box.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Badger fans are excited to hear that. I want to ask you if he reminds you of anyone. He reminds me a little bit, and let me know if you think this is crazy, of Caleb Swanigan a little bit, the Purdue big that went 27th, went to Portland. Also a guy, really smart, good footwork, could stretch the defense, a little bigger, not super tall. That's kind of who he reminds me a little bit. Does he remind you of anyone? Is there anyone that pops in your head when you watch him?
Yeah, I mean, so that's a good one. I would say, you know, because I think about guys who have really great footwork, I think about taking people back here, but Carlos Boozer, especially when he was at Duke, he had amazing footwork. He wasn't a guy. I mean, he totally was dunking. I mean, Gus dunks too. Like, people track like he just shoots layups. The Gus can dunk too. But Boozer was a guy who was just, he was just going to one-two you to death, spin, you know, he was had hook shots, pump fakes, different stuff like that. So I would say him, maybe even Trevor Booker, maybe not as athletic, but just great footwork. And that made him who he was to be. And he added the athleticism, right? Because he had that. But it was the same 2 points, just saying. Mm-hmm. If I'm still scoring on you, maybe I didn't dunk it, but, you know, I mean, I still had 20.
Yeah, I love it. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. We just got done talking about potential expectations freshman year for this class. We're going to bring it to the current freshman, Connor Sejan, and talk a little bit about his game, his ceiling with Jason Jordan. We're going to talk about that next on Locked On Badgers. But first, a very quick break for a word from our friends of the show. All right, I want to thank everybody again tuning in to Locked On Badgers, making this one of your first stops. Really do appreciate y'all. We're going to wrap up here with Jason Jordan, Locked On's college basketball recruiting insider. And again, Jason, I kicked off the show by giving you a lot of props. You were all over the Connor Sejan hype train before it got started. You helped us get on board it, right? Talking about his game, how he could cook people. And he just had the reputation of he's just a standstill shooter, right? Yeah. He just scored 20. I got it right here. I think in this last game, 24. 24, played 37 minutes, hit 1-3 in that game, Jason.
Yeah.
If he's cooking in the mid-range like that with his shot, what are we talking about ceiling here for Connor at the college level?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's looking like Indiana elite Connor. Right. So, I mean, that's what everybody would do. So people are like, oh, he's a standstill shooter. Let me just push up on him. Okay. All right. So that's what that's not new to him. Like, that they did that in the Adidas 3SSB when he was with Indiana Elite, and he would go by them and get to the rack, or he'd pull up for mid-range jump shots. He would mid-range him to death. And it's kind of like the game the other night. So now, you know, at this level, granted, there are levels to it. So and now he's starting to see at this level, I can be super effective, you know, even when my threes aren't falling. I mean, I think he just set the freshman record for threes made. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously he has that. But just now that when you start to – it's more important to establish – for him, it's more important to establish his drive and his pull-up, mid-range pull-up, because that's what's going to set up the most lethal part of his game. So if I know that you can go by me, dang, I can't push up because, you know you know, you're going to kill me in the mid range. So I got to respect both. Now I don't know what to do. Right. And so that makes you, you know, at his mercy in every way. And so we're seeing what the defense is having to put up with. We're seeing like they're falling apart trying to, now he's going to be like the focal point of defensive schemes going forward. And I mean this season, not just, not as a sophomore. I'm talking about this week, this weekend, you know. And I thought this would be the case for him, as you said. I mean, you know, because he just has the full package. And you know, it's not shocking to me what he's been able to do. But I'm glad, you know, I'm glad he's coming into his own. I think it's just the tip of the iceberg, though.
Well, and does that feel good? I mean, I want to talk next. You said tip of the iceberg. A couple more quick questions on Connor. But at some level, as a talent evaluator, someone who sees a lot of these players, does that feel good to see? Like, you were at all over this and said, underranked, under-recruited, he's going to be really good. And then to see it happen, does that feel kind of good just from the standpoint of your methods are kind of in place? Like, you know what you're looking for and it's working.
Yeah. Because you look for transferable skill sets, right? And so, like we talked about earlier, you look at things like, is he engaged on both ends of the floor? Is he, what kind of body language guy is he? What kind of work ethic does he have? How does he handle adversity? You know, even when they're pushing up on him and they're fouling, he's not getting those calls. How does he handle that? So those are all things he checked off boxes for that, for sure. So, but when you see it coming to us, it's so quickly, right? That's always good. That always makes you, for sure. Yeah, that's definitely a good feeling.
Let's talk. You said tip of the iceberg. That's really where I wanted to go next with this. What does he potentially look like next year with another year in the college strength? I think he's going to get bigger. He's going to get a little stronger. He can put on 10, 15 pounds, I think.
Yeah.
What's he going to look like next year and the year after as we're building this year?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I think he'll be on a lot of, you know, Big Ten first team lists next year. And he could potentially challenge for the player of the year. I think he's that good. I think he could increase his scoring average. I think he could be in the 17 range. You know, and if your freshman class comes in and has the impact that I think it should have, I mean, you guys could be, I expect you to be in the top tier of the big, I would certainly expect you to be in the top tier of the Big Ten next season. So if all that is in place, I think he could certainly challenge for Big Ten player of the year. I mean, I think he's that good. I think he can put up those types of numbers. I don't think anybody's going to argue with me on that just based off what he's done and, you know, with a logical progression. And then you're going to have guys that are going to, you know, take some of the pressure off of him potentially. Like, you have a guy who, like Nolan, you're going to have to contend for Nolan. Like, you haven't had to contend for some of, you know, he's a different type of threat. And Gus is going to be a different type of threat. So I think that, you know, with the logical progression, I think he could be in the 17, 18, maybe even 19 range next season. And that would certainly put him in probably the driver's seat for Big Ten player of the year.
No, Badger fans love to hear that. Now, I don't think that's a crazy thing to say. I agree with you.
Oh, absolutely. He's averaging 12 now. You know, I mean, you know, almost shooting 40% from the three. I mean, you know, logical progression.
I agree. All right, Jason, thank you so much for joining us as always. Like I said, we're smarter because you're here. I truly do mean that. I hope everybody goes and follows Jason, follows social media. Again, someone who's really plugged into this, seeing these players in person, not just watching the highlight clips like a lot of us have to do. So, Jason, thank you so much. On Wisconsin. We'll talk again tomorrow and really appreciate everybody tuning in.